make us one. That really is important to the heart of God. It's important to the ministry of Jesus that His disciples would be one. And John's Gospel talks a lot about that and why it's so important that we understand the meaning of the body of Christ. I know that's a term that you've probably heard many times, the body of Christ, and you wonder, well, what does it really mean? The New Testament speaks of the body of Christ in two ways. The broken body of Jesus, that He died for our sins. And then He describes the believers together, the church, as being His body. And you think of how important those two things are and how they come together. The broken body of Jesus and how we become the body of Christ and how important it is. We are celebrating today and we're remembering what it means to be the body of Christ and what Jesus says to us and how important it is for us to value each other, value one another, to value the faith that's found in each other. And we are called to encourage each other. I'm glad that you're here today, and I want to be an encouragement to you. If I would have to list what I believe my role is called of God, one of them would be to say, I am to be an encourager of people in the faith. I am to try to encourage you in your faith, no matter where you're at, whether you're very new to the faith or maybe you're here today and you're not sure what you believe and you wonder, is God really here? But yet you're trying to ask those questions and you're trying to find God. I believe that my role is to help you to look forward to who Jesus is and to see Him for who He is. And if you've been a Christian a long time and you've been through all kinds of storms as a Christian and life has beaten and battered you and you've come through that and you're at that point in your life, I believe my role as a pastor and as a Christian is to encourage you wherever you're at today. I believe that God calls me to be an encourager, and I believe that God calls each one of you to be an encourager too. You know, God works with us wherever we're at, and we need to see people that way as well and work with them where they are at. The Apostle Paul wrote a lot about encouragement, and in 1 Thessalonians, we read these words, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You know that God calls us to be very careful that in everything we do in this life, we are building up other believers. And the way that we treat people, the way that we deal with our problems, the way that we deal with our differences are all so key and important for us to building each other up in the body of Christ. In another scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, we read these words, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You know that the writer says that we're to consider how can we just keep pushing each other, pushing each other, pushing each other to love more and to be what Christ calls them to be. We are to be encouragers and part of the importance of the body of Christ. And you being here today and us being together is to understand how important the body of Christ is to Jesus. I want to read from John chapter 15 this morning. These are the words where Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And I want to talk about this passage a little bit. And what did Jesus say about me connecting, about being connected to Him? And what does it say to us about our faith? And what does it say to us about the body of Christ? John chapter 15, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown down and away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. There are so many things that Jesus says in these words in John chapter 15. He's painting a picture. He's helping us to understand how interested God is in being connected to you. Jesus is wanting us to understand that it's in connectedness with God that your life can find balance and find fulfillment. In being connected to Jesus, your needs and the path of your life can find fulfillment. There are several things in Jesus' words that I guess I would describe them are evidence of being connected to Jesus. Or maybe you might say they're the result of being connected to Jesus. And I want to mention them this morning. The first one is this: when your life is connected to Jesus and you are truly connected to God, then there will be some pruning that God will do inside your heart and your life. And so the first evidence that I want to suggest this morning from Jesus' words is the importance of pruning. Have you thought much about why pruning is important? I do have grapes. They're not that great, but I have them, and if I don't cut them off with my mower, I get lots of good grapes in August, and I'm not a gardener. But anyway, I know enough about grapes to know that I have to cut them back every year. In fact, my dad calls me every February and says, "Wayne, don't forget, you got to trim your grapes by the end of February." It's something about the end of February every year. In fact, we joke about that. Sometime in about the middle of February, I call Dad and say, "Dad, I guess I better get out there across the snow and get them cut off." You know, there's something about the pruning that makes them more fruitful. There's something about the pruning that makes them productive. And if they're not pruned, they're not as productive. And one of the results of you being connected to God is that God will be pruning in your heart and your life. And God will show you things in your life that need to change. And if that's not happening, if you're not feeling that convicting spirit of Jesus, if you're not really feeling a little guilty about things that you should feel guilty about, if it's like you go right on by the caution signs and they just don't seem to bother you anymore, and I have my own reasons and my own justifications, and if you just kind of are on your own and you're not hearing the voice of God about things in your heart and your life, you ought to be scared about that. And you ought to back up and say, "God, I want you to speak into my life." It's when you don't hear the Spirit of God in your heart and your life that you're at most risk. And so the pruning is important. Jesus uses the Greek word, I understand, for pruning in this scripture that's translated two ways in the Greek. One is the pruning that we read right here, and the other is the word cleaning. Do you know that God wants to constantly be cleaning in your heart and your life? And God wants to continually come through and take the stuff out of your heart and your spirit and your attitude that might be there that's keeping you from being fruitful. You see, on the other end of this and all throughout this passage, Jesus is talking about being fruitful. And if there's not pruning in your life, then you're not going to be fruitful. If there's not the pruning of God in your heart and your spirit and your attitude, and He doesn't have permission to come in and examine you and check you out and change the things inside of you, if He doesn't have permission to do the pruning, then He cannot make you productive in your life. He cannot make you more fruitful. He will be teaching you. He will be leading you. He will be correcting you if you allow Him to do that. I mean, everything about who you are, about the attitude inside of you, about maybe that self-centeredness that seems to come up a little bit and mess you up in relationship, about feelings that you don't know what to do with, about broken relationships, about people in your life that have hurt you and harmed you, all those things. If God has permission to work on you, then God can help you with the problems that you have in your life. That ongoing pruning of God is so important for who we are as Christians in order to be fruit-bearing Christians. That's what God wants to do in your life. And that only comes about when He's the vine and you're the branches. When you're so connected to Him and you're seeking Him and you're hungry for Him and your heart is teachable before Him, that He has the permission to speak to everything in your heart and life. That's what God wants to do for you. God wants you to have a teachable heart. If I could summarize it in two words, God wants you to have a teachable heart. God wants you to have a humble heart. God wants you to have a spirit inside of you that says every day, God, I want you. I need you. I need you to give me an attitude check. I need you to give me a check of my words and the way that I'm looking at life and how I'm dealing with my circumstances. I need God to do that. You see, when we do it, we can get it pretty messed up. Because there's a lot of junk in the world that just comes in and flows over us, and we got to put up with all kinds of stuff that can kind of knock us off kilter. But when God cleans us out and when God shows us what's right, then we know that it's right. And the only way to do that is to have a teachable spirit and a teachable attitude. I think kind of underlying this whole passage is the importance of having a teachable spirit. You see, no matter how good you are, you can't be good enough to always get it right. No matter how experienced you are, no matter if you've had a lot of bad experiences and so you've learned from them, you still can't get it right. No matter how much you know, no matter how smart you are, no matter how educated you are, no matter how many classes you've taken or whether you've gone to school or you got a degree, you can't substitute that for a teachable spirit. You can have all kinds of gifts. You can be great at ministry. You can help a lot of people out there. But if you don't have a teachable spirit, you won't bear fruit. You can be a Christian for 80 years and sit in the same pew and sing the same song and say the same prayer and do the same thing for all of your life. You can be very consistent about a lot of things, but if you don't have a teachable spirit, it's like Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in love. You can give your body to be burned, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. You can have the greatest gifts in the world. You can be rich, you can be poor. You can be young, you can be old. You can be in the church for 2 weeks or you can be in the church for 30 years. And it is nothing if you don't have a teachable spirit. If you've said you already know it all, you're not fruitful. That's the point of John chapter 17 or John chapter 15, is fruitfulness. Jesus is saying you've got to be connected. You've got to be willing to have that teaching of the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life. There's no substitute for a humble spirit. You can't buy it. You can't trade for it. You can't make up for it. You can't please God enough in other ways to make up for a heart that's not humble. It's humble people that God touches. It's humble people that God can use. It's humbled spirits that God can change. It's within humbled people that God can work miracles and redeem and change. But if you have a proud heart, and you have a self-sufficient heart, or if you already know all the answers, you can go through life and you can live all the motions, and you're going to miss out being fruitful and knowing the Spirit of God, how important it is to have a teachable spirit. When you're connected to the Holy Spirit, He can teach you. Jesus also talks about in this chapter and the prior chapter, chapter 14, about the importance of the Holy Spirit. And He's telling His disciples that the Holy Spirit's going to come. And when He comes, He's going to lead you into all truth. And we won't bother to go into all the things that He says about the Holy Spirit, but basically related to the first point and tied to this one, how important it is that you're listening to the Holy Spirit in your life. That you're listening to the Holy Spirit, that you're taking time for the Holy Spirit, and that you're keeping your mouth shut enough that you can listen to the Holy Spirit instead of telling God what's right, instead of telling God about everything in your life and the way it should be and the way it should be with other people and how people have done you wrong and everything about everything in your life. The best thing you can do is be quiet before the Holy Spirit. He will show you what's right. You really want to know truth. You want to know truth about you. Best thing to do is become very quiet before God's Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and speak to me and show me what you want to do. And then when you want to prune me, when you want to clean me out, when you want to change my attitude, when you want to change my hard heart, when you want to take me where I'm at and that I'll be tender and pliable and usable for you and useful for the Master, that God can do that when you're listening to Him and your spirit is connected to Him. We know that the Holy Spirit is there in the life of every believer. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He's speaking to you. He wants to help you, but you've got to listen. You make the choice whether you listen or not. The Holy Spirit is there. If you've not opened your heart to Jesus and asked Him to forgive him of your sins, then you don't have that Holy Spirit, but you can do that. You can say, God, I need you. I know that Jesus can do for me what I can't do for myself, and I ask you to forgive me and to come into my heart and start giving me that guidance. Start putting your truth in me where I'm listening and I'm hearing, and then I'll change the things in my life that you want to change. I'm willing to do that. You can say that this morning. You can make that prayer today. When we receive communion, it's kind of a time to say, God, I do need you. I'm sorry I've not been listening. And I know how much I need you today. I want to give you an opportunity today to say to Him, I need you. And I want you. And I'm going to listen to you. I know that He'll hear your prayer if you do that. In fact, the third point is this. Jesus says here that when we are connected to Him, then our prayers will be answered. Look at verse 7. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Wow. Wow. That's kind of a deep thing. It says, if we remain in Him and His words are in us, that means we're holding on to the truth, then we can ask Him anything and He'll give it to us. Wow. What? I mean, does that mean if I want a car? Well, then probably His word's not in me if that's what I really want. But I'll tell you what, if you seek God and you're hungry for Him and you're calling out to Him and you're saying, God, show me what's right, I'll tell you, He'll hear your prayer. Because He already knows what you need. He already knows your heart, your life, your problems, your past, your present, and your future. And He knows what you need. So He says that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you ask anything you want and the Father will give it to you. I don't think that means that God's up there just to pass out wonderful fun things to us. That's not what it means, and you know that. What it means is He already knows what you need in your life and He wants to help you to get it. And He wants to meet your need. He cares deeply about, and when you're connected to Him, He hears your prayers. You know, recently I had somebody call me, and I was busy, and I put that project aside, and I talked to this person for a while, and this person began to pour out a lot of problems. I did my best to listen and try to respond, you know, try to. But I realized how much God, who is awesome and infinite and holy and perfect, how He can hear us and He knows what to do every time. He knows what to do about your life. I wonder, can God help me? You might wonder that. Am I too far gone? Is there any hope? I just want to say to you today, there's an amazing, awesome, infinite God who's a really, really good listener and an even better counselor. And you can come to Him and He'll hear your prayer. He knows your life. He knows your heart. And he knows your challenges. And he cares deeply about you. He loves you so much. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If we're connected to him, we know that he hears our prayers and he answers them. We also know that when we're connected to Jesus, he can fill our heart with a joy that's absent anywhere else. You know, that meaning in life and that connectedness and that feeling like we're where we ought to be and life is good, is found in who Jesus is. Jesus is described as the real joy giver. There's a song like that, and it's really true. If you're looking for meaning in your life, you're looking for restoration, you're looking for hope, Jesus is the one that can give that to you and do that for you. He says here, I have told you this so that you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus says that he can give us joy. He can meet the needs in your life. One more evidence of being connected to Jesus is also found in these words of Jesus. It has to do with love. And Jesus emphasized over and over again, if you're in me, you'll love other people. If you really are in me, you'll have a love that's beyond yourself. If you're connected to me, you'll understand the love of God and my love for you, and it'll change how you see other people. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your patience level. It'll change your judgmental level. It'll change everything about you when you're connected to me, because when we're connected with God, we're really connected with Jesus, then we see things that only God can see. We see people through the eyes of God and through Jesus, and how important that is. Boy, do we need Jesus today. Boy, do we need Jesus in our lives and our hearts. And I have to believe that there might be some that are here today who need simply to say, Jesus, I need to confess my sins to you. I need to say, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to forgive me and to come into my heart and come into my life. I want you to know that today is a great day to do that. Make a new commitment. Say, I'm starting again. I promise that Jesus, I'm going to listen to your spirit. And maybe as we pray together in just a moment, that might be the prayer that's on your heart and on your mind today. I want to invite you to do that between you and God. And there may be others that say, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, but I haven't been very connected. I know he's the vine and I know I'm the branches, but boy, I look at my life and there's really a whole not a whole lot of fruit. There's just not a whole lot of real good influence in my life on other people. In fact, people look at me and I think, boy, if I'm the measure of a Christian, wow. I don't know where you fall this morning, but I want you to know that we've come to the right place of seeking his spirit. Would you stand with me today? I'm going to ask Debbie to come and play, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to sing a song with me this morning, and we're going to receive Holy Communion as we do that today. Just going to ask you quickly to bow your heads and close your eyes if you don't mind doing this. I'm not wanting to manipulate anybody at all. I just want to know if there's anybody here today that would say, Pastor, I really would appreciate it if you would pray for me. I don't mean out loud, but just while I'm here. And you got something going on in your life and you just want to confess it and admit it and say, I'll go on record and say, I need God's help today. Anybody like that today? God sees your heart. He sees your hand. He sees your need today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can come before you, that you are the vine and we are the branches, and that you can meet every need in our lives this morning. I thank you for that. Thank you for a great God that you are. Thank you that you want to prune us. You want to cleanse us. You want to make us fruitful. I pray, God, that we would be humbled before you today, that our spirit, our attitude would be that of humility and that of a teachable spirit, Lord God, I pray. Thank you, God, that you offer forgiveness of sins today as we come and pray even now at this moment. We can confess our sins to you and accept your forgiveness and believe on Jesus and have a new life. Invite the Holy Spirit to come in and begin to speak to us and help us to do what's right. Help us to know what's right. Help us to make decisions. Help us to straighten things out in our lives, God, that you're able to do that. I know that you are today, God. I pray for those that say that prayer, that you would come to them and help them to know for sure that you have heard them and you would help them today. How much, Father, you are a good listener. You are a good counselor. You're able to change us. Thank you for that this morning. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the opportunity of communion now and recognizing again the broken body of Jesus. You gave your life for us in Jesus' name.